Good morning. The reading today is from 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Yes, the first Peter author, which scholars have noted, references situations that occurred after the Apostle Peter and used a highbrow type of Greek that probably don't expect from the disciple Peter, was nonetheless a follower and believer who thought that the end of the world was coming, probably virtually immediately. He was most likely a Christian of the late first century. And any thoughts about ending times supposed that Christ was coming again pretty quickly. In their lifetime, for sure. It didn't seem to make sense to those that were being persecuted as Christians that Jesus would come and leave and wouldn't come again very quickly. That wasn't part of what Jesus was telling them, was it? But they were still trying to figure this out. Everything which the disciples and later followers had learned about Jesus seemed to make sense if Jesus were coming back, and soon. And this gave new urgency to spreading the good news about the covenant to God through Jesus and reconciliation with God for everyone. Now think about it ourselves. What are we the most urgent about usually in Florida? Thank you. I was going to say, if I miss this one, I'm really not on. Hurricanes, right? And when we think that they're 2 or 3 weeks out, are we really urgent about things? Not really. But the urgency comes when we think that hurricane is close enough that it will be here soon, just like the Christians did. An urgency made sense if life was going to go on only a little bit more for these first Christians. So 1 Peter's author says to pray in a sober way. And I don't think he means drinking here, although that can go along with it, right? A sober way, being alert, perceptive, analyzing, and in an ever-listening manner. A sober way being one of serious prayer, watchful in prayer. If you think about it, you must be sober in every way that we can talk about sobriety these days in order to achieve what the author wants us to as you read on. Yet the truth is, Jesus hasn't come back, has he? At least not that I know, unless he's sitting here and one of you wanted to raise your hand. But it does not seem nonsensical for us to be prepared. What seems nonsensical is to think that it might be this second and put it off in preparation, right? The end times, which is talked about the most in the book of Revelation, and I had somebody ask me about this, so I stuck it in for their sake. Revelation speaks of the end time, but it is really a message of hope and inspiration to believers. Much like the words of 1 Peter, it has symbolic imagery. The beast being the Roman Empire, the city of Babylon really being the city of Jerusalem. The number 666, we believe, stands for Nero, the Caesar of the time. It was a code of resistance with a message of hope for new Christians. And 1 Peter is really a message of hope for Christians, whether they thought that we were going to be taken up with Jesus very quickly or not. 1 Peter's writing also lives on the same way that the rest of the Bible lives on, because it gives good advice to give us from yesterday, today, and on to tomorrow. The truth is, we don't know when Jesus is going to return, do we? But we should be in a ready position in life. just like we get our hurricane preparedness packages ready, right? I got that water, I got that propane on my gas tank or gas grill. Preparedness. I wonder, how many of you noticed that the humidity dropped and it was beautiful out, especially in the mornings this week? Amen, right? I decided to take my work onto the deck Monday morning. I took my coffee, my laptop, my dogs. They were really happy I was out with them. I loved it. It gave me breathability. I could breathe, and I felt totally sober as I was reading these words from 1 Peter. As a matter of fact, as I prayed, I couldn't help but thank the Lord for the squeaking and cawing and tweeting of many birds that seemed to be around me. Even though I had my eyes closed, I could hear them all. Try it this week. It's amazing to see how many birds are around and how much God has filled the universe around us. But I kept saying to myself, stay sober, Don. Stay on task here. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Note here that even with this writer's expectation of Christ coming momentarily, he does not say time to pack up and give everything to the poor. Christ will be here in the morning, does he? He doesn't say, oh, let's get tizzy. The sky is falling like, what was that little chicken? Chicken Little, thank you. See, you know what I'm talking about, right? It comes to mind too. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, no, not yet. But we have to be prepared. There's no running around. There's no words to follow after the first one's actually here, which First Peter says to look for signs or to have judgment or finger pointing or any shame on anything. There's no ramping up of fear that it can be, just like you watch the newscast sometimes with fear when a hurricane's coming. It's kind of like in New York when I was growing up. Anytime there was going to be 2 inches of snow, a blizzard was coming, right? But there's no fear here in the Bible and what First Peter's telling us. There's instead an urgency that is part of a realization that we must work on what is important. In other words, the author is setting priorities for us after this first part. Personally, I started hearing the words of meteorologist Dennis Phillips in the background saying, Rule 7, don't panic until I panic, right? You know who he is? It's all about being prepared and doing our best to live in God's way until the end does come. Because the end comes from us one way or the other, doesn't it, people? Verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Wake up, my friends, he's saying. Be sober and pray. It means stay calm and have self-control so that you can pray clearly and effectively hear clearly. Then listen up. Listen for God. Why? Because the first thing and main thing that God will always tell you is about love, right? Amen? Love covers a multitude of sins, meaning that we need to forgive one another, bear with one another, restore one another, really love one another. Amen? We all can be arrogant, racist, homophobic, separatist, snobby, ethnocentric, deceitful, shrewd, ungracious, and the list can go on, right? Anything negative, we all can be at some point or another in our lives, right? But if we come to love and show love to one another, true agape love, we're not talking romantic love, we're talking love of everyone, agape love, then we will have our sins forgiven too. As we commit not to sin again, as we commit to each other to forgive others of their sins. It's right in Jesus' prayer too, right? Well, we go on to verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, Thanksgiving's coming, and as soon as I read this one, I was thinking of, oh, yeah, maybe I have to invite Uncle Tim. I see I don't have an Uncle Tim, so I'm using this. Maybe I have to invite Uncle Tim, who always gets into the candy box and eats all the candy before anybody else. Or maybe I have to go to great-grandma's house who burns the turkey at age 90 every single year, but I got to eat the turkey. Somebody laughed too much. They know what I'm talking about, right? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. But you see, I don't think they're talking about Thanksgiving or anything like this kind of grumbling, are they? The type of grumbling and hospitality is different in 1 Peter. The type of hospitality 1 Peter's talking about comes with loving all people and trying to atone with all people through love and grace, as talked about in verse 8. It's a hospitality that is given in good spirit, that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, demonstrated for us by Christ, given freely from God as a grace. Hospitality as grace, which we then pass on to others. Grace, not grumbling. Do we see that? You see, all that love is followed by hospitality that's for everyone, welcoming everyone, as God welcomes all sinners, that's all of us in the world, to the banquet table to be together with the Lord. Then you can have Thanksgiving, right? Open your arms and your home, says the Lord. No grumbling about being having the biggest piece of pie at the table, the biggest inheritance, the biggest nation state. None of us. That's not what God is talking about through Peter. Share in a hospitable way, Jesus' way, God's way. Verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, meaning whatever gift you receive in life from God, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of us is told that whatever gift we get and we've received, it's for the sake of others. We don't often think about that, do we? We come sometimes, even if you're like me, just say, thank you, God, I received my paycheck, or I received a bonus in the mail, or I received a card or something else, but we think of it as for ourselves. Kind of like when my children were little and they would get Halloween cards from my mother, wherever she was, she would send a Halloween card because she wasn't there. And they would open it fast, they'd never read the card, they'd just see if there was money there from grandma, right? Why? Because if we're not faithful followers, faithful Christians, faithful and loving creations of God in a godly manner, we're not actually being good stewards of what God gives us. The gift isn't for just us, it's for others. If we do not pass on what God blesses us with, we are not thanking God properly, nor showing love to God and others properly, and then we are separated from God. The author that I was reading the commentary from this week said, the separation from God is shown from the very first story, being of Adam and Eve. They're separated from God and cannot get to paradise because of their sin. When we do not take care of others, when we do not love the way God calls us to, we are separated from God too. But we have the way to come back to God through Christ. Paradise is able to be right here and now in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, as well as where we hope to be with God in the future. When I got done reading the passage and seeing the order of the message, I sat and I wondered, what story do I have that I could share with you today of today's times that would make sense for this? And at first, I have to say I was lost. But then the more I thought about it, it wasn't just one person's story. It was one kind of, but it was a multitude of stories. And again, it went around hurricanes. Man, I think I'm a Floridian now. Especially this last year with dealing with Hurricane Helene and Milton. A lady came to mind that I saw on television, on the news. I'm going to call her Jane because I really don't know what news station it was to give them credit, nor what the lady's name was. So we'll call her Jane. When one of the hurricanes swept towards Florida, this woman named Jane was in a smaller coastal town north of us, that I recall. She found herself not knowing what to expect, but without power for days, as her whole town had trees down, rooftops gone, cars had already floated away, and there was just devastation around. Many people had left town, But Jane had been a nurse her whole life and a lifelong member of the local church, and she decided, since she wasn't in a mandatory zone, that she would stay. She also had thought about her neighborhood. It was filled with elderly residents, and she knew a lot of them would not be able to evacuate. So she figured she'd brave it out with them. That first night after the storm's worst had passed, the rain was still beating down on her windows, and she said that she lit candles and she prayed. She remembered the words, something like 1 Peter. Go back to those words. The end of all things is near, therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers, says 1 Peter. Friends, I don't think that it was that Jane was foolish enough not to be afraid. I'm pretty sure she was still afraid, but she chose to steady her heart in prayer instead of panic. The next morning, the news said that Jane had begun checking on neighbors one by one. She cooked food on a small gas stove. She shared it freely. When she located some gas, instead of hooking up her generator for her own refrigerator, she ran an extension cord through the window to the next door neighbors that were elderly and needed their medicine to be cold and at hand all the time. I remember this lady saying that there was something about God's sharing plan. Maybe she was sharing as she shared power, we would say. As more people gathered in her yard, because it was a drier one, she turned the small community into a place for charging phones, people to come for coffee, a place to talk and pray. Everyone pitched in. One brought fuel, another brought hot dogs and grilled them out. They were all together, though. Some had not been friends. They had been neighbors, but they hadn't been friends. But through this, they came together. Together, they could start to see the light through the darkness. Does that resonate? Later, when the power was restored, one neighbor gave her a hug and said, "You helped us see the light before the electricity came back on." I think that's how I remembered this with 1 Peter. You helped us see the light before the electricity came back on. But this gracious woman on TV said something to the fact of, God supplied it to me. Friends, that's the hospitality that 1 Peter's talking about, without grumbling. God speaks to us through 1 Peter today so we can be prepared for whenever that tomorrow is, whether it be in 1 second or 1 year or even after us for the next generation. Jane had to remain calm, had to go to God and petition God, had to listen for God, had to listen for God's guidance when the world seemed like it was pretty dark. And you know with the hurricanes how dark it seems, right? She practiced hospitality without complaint, but from the heart. She used her own gifts and then others that were placed in front of her to help others. And through it all, who in the end did she glorify and give praise to? God. Friends, we're not supposed to wait until the equivalent of a hurricane or the ending days upon earth come before God calls us to be good servants for the Lord. We're called to look at ourselves and see what we can fix about ourselves, such that we reduce our sinning, that we forgive ourselves and others, and so that we grow closer to God and others, so that ultimately we're prepared. And we're prepared by sharing the love of God with everyone. I need to keep in mind that it is God who will keep me accountable for my actions and inactions, statements or silence, sin or blessings, giving or hoarding, living in trust and faith of God or not, and whether I witness his ways in my life or not. That is what I'm accountable for. But each one of you are too. As we get together as members of the body of this church, as the body of Christ, we take a commitment, or a recommitment, you might say, every time that a new member comes up here and they commit to being part of our church. I'm sure that Jane, whatever her real name is, would tell all of us, we don't have to wait till the next time a storm is, for the end of all things, or even for another member to become a member up here for us to remember what our commitment is to each other. Amen? We can start now in our homes, our neighborhoods, and in our church by letting our love speak louder than our fear. We can start by praying with open and sober minds, viewing the world with all the love that we can have in our hearts and minds and eyes, open hands, open hearts. We used to say this as even as our motto of the Methodist Church, open hands, open hearts, open doors. Amen? Like Jane, we can be the ones who bring light before the power comes back on. So when we go home this week, let's each of us look to see what we can do, what we have to do, really. We have too much in some cases, and I'm not talking money for stewardship campaign or even your time, talent, etc. Now, I'm talking about, have you got two closets worth of clothes? Have you got 50 pairs of shoes? Have you got a pantry that could even give something else to someone else? Our neighbors are going to need it if they don't already. Possessions, pride, or distractions, we can offer it up to God. Ask God with me, because I'm doing this too, to release us from big or little things and make them into blessings for someone else. In love and with hospitality like Christ was to everyone that he ever touched. For when we live as stewards of his grace, when we use what we've been given to serve and to love, the glory does not rest on us. It rests on Christ, who shines through us in every act of kindness, every prayer whispered in faith, every light shared in the darkness of the world. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we are so lucky. In this room, there are babies all the way up to our elders that we love and respect. We cling to each other, Lord. Sometimes harder than we need, than other times. Sometimes not as much as we should. Let us hear your message together, though, this morning. Let us pray over our pledges for the next year so that we continue to do your work, but let us pray over what we have too much of and how we can show love to others that we haven't even thought about or that we've just put on the back burner. And all in your name, all to show your light to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.